Welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago.
All gas, no break.
If you're looking for the same old sports talk,
get out.
You've come to the wrong place.
Hey, we ain't come this far just to come this far, you hear me?
I tell you what I see, I tell you the truth.
We going hard today.
We're fearless, bold, and highly opinionated.
This show is so hot right now.
The biggest guests, the hottest takes, and the best interviews live right here.
Do you actually remind me of Dan Patrick? Because you ask great questions, you have the knack, you have the gift.
On Sports Talk Chicago.
Yo, Chicago.
Here's your host.
The guy's an absolute stud.
John Zagluhl.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. Great to be back. Another week here with you. My name's John Zagluhl. John Meadows is directing and producing. So much to get to here on today's program. We're so excited to be here with you on this great day. So much Bears news to get to. The Cubs and White Sox are going to be starting off their seasons this week, so we're going to get to a full preview for that in the last segment of today's program. We have an NFL columnist coming out and saying that the Bears may be the NFL Cinderella team in 2024. Plus, Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles speak out about the Justin Fields trade. You're not going to want to miss what Kevin Warren had to say about it. That'll be in the second segment of today's program. Want to give a warm welcome to all of our great radio and TV affiliates across the STC Syndication Network, 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Live, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, Gen TV, WJOB, Cities, 92.9 Talk FM, and our friends up in Rockford, WROK, 1440 AM. You want to follow us? You can at Sports Talk Chicago. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. If you're listening on the radio, you want to see my pretty face, you can subscribe on YouTube, hit the like button on this video, and watch as we discuss all of these great topics here. I'm appreciative for everybody being here. So good to be here with so much to discuss, and I'm glad to be here for another program and another week here on Sports Talk Chicago. This made me cringe a little bit, but also made me excited. I'll explain why. There's the headline from Adam Schein at NFL.com, a contributing columnist. With Caleb Williams making magic, Chicago Bears will be NFL's Cinderella team of 2024. Now, I don't doubt that that's true, and I'll read about what he said in here. I don't doubt that that's going to be the case, but it just worries me to see it because last year we all said the same thing. I made excuses for this team last year to my own detriment. I'm sure you guys did too. And at the end of the day, they went 7-10. And well, that was an improvement over the year before, which was the worst year in Bears history by record. It still was not enough. They should have done more. And it was a shame to see the way things ended last year, especially with that tough loss to Green Bay. Nevertheless, I have a little bit more faith that this year will be a Cinderella-type year. I had said last week on the program when we talked about Caleb Williams and expectations that 10 wins should be the bar. And if they get to 10, I think it's a successful season in year one of a rookie quarterback. But I digress, and we'll talk about what Adam Schein says here. Here's what he says. Now, his criteria for being a Cinderella team: a team must not have made the playoffs in the previous season. That's number one. And it shouldn't be widely considered a Super Bowl contender. I actually agree with them on both of those Cinderella team criteria. The Bears are not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Whether people want to say it or not, it's not going to happen. There are some Bears fans putting that lofty expectations on Caleb Williams in his first year, which we talked about last week, and how that's unfair and it's out of spite, not truth or reality. The Bears are not making the Super Bowl this year. And also, they must have not made the playoffs in the previous season. The Bears have never made the playoffs since 2020 and then have never really been successful, quote-unquote, since 2018. The 2020 playoff appearance was more of a backing into the playoffs because Arizona lost, as we remember. The Bears have never truly earned a playoff spot since 2018. So that criteria is certainly met. You can ask a Bears fan today, they won't even know the last time the Bears made the playoffs. So that's true. That's correct. So here's what he said about what the Bears have accomplished so far, which I concur with on most things. He said this, quote, "I still cannot believe general manager Ryan Poles nabbed Keenan Allen in exchange for a fourth-round pick. What an amazing steal. I love how he's going to match with DJ Moore, a king of yards after the catch and highlight reel plays. The Allen Moore pairing is going to be a terrific, dynamic 1-2 punch. Yes? And I would say this too, and I believe I saw this on Twitter this past week. This is going to be the first time, assuming the Bears draft Caleb Williams, that a rookie quarterback is going to walk into a situation with two 1,200-plus yard wide receivers who had put up those numbers the year before. So the Bears currently now, because Keenan Allen did it last year and DJ Moore certainly did as well, they're going to have two 1,200-plus yard wide receivers ready to go day one for Caleb Williams. This is, historically speaking, now, the best situation any quarterback's ever walked into. Think about that for a second. We're talking about decades, almost a century of NFL football. This right here, statistically speaking, when it comes to wide receivers, is the best situation any quarterback has ever walked into. That's what Caleb Williams is going to inherit. And as Shine pointed out correctly, a lot of credit there goes to Ryan Poles. A lot of credit there goes to Ryan Poles. You bring in Keenan Allen, you already got DJ Moore. Maybe you'll draft a wide receiver as well. All of a sudden, you got a nice 1-2 punch up top. You could develop a rookie, make him a number three. Maybe Bayless Jones gets opportunities. I don't know. But the point is, you have a top solid 1-2, and you could build out 3-5 if you need to. Shine goes on to say this, quote, "The offensive improvements weren't limited to Allen. Don't overlook the underrated signing of Gerald Everett, who should make a solid partner for Cole Kmet at tight end. And, of course, new running back DeAndre Swift is a good runner with reliable hands out of the backfield. I liked his addition before, but it looks even better now that Keenan Allen is in the fold." On the other side of the ball, Poles smartly retained terrific playmaking corner Jalen Johnson. As we know, head coach Matt Eberflus's defense operated at a different level last season after the Montez Sweat trade and then the extension last year as well. And Eberflus's D is going to become a big part and a true force of this team, says Shine. Also very much correct. This all goes back years in the making, too. I want to make that clear here. For better or for worse, it hasn't been perfect for Ryan Poles. There have been questionable decisions. There have been mistakes. And we on this program have always called him out about it. And we're not afraid to call him out about it. The Chase Claypool thing, my goodness, that was bad. That was horrible. But there were so many good things that have occurred for Poles and that he's done since he took over. I was not a fan of the teardown and the rebuild and the quote-unquote tanking during the 3-15 season. But you know what? It's paid off. They have DJ Moore because of it. This past year, going 7-10, kind of sucked, but now they have the number one overall pick due to their trade for DJ Moore as well. And they have the number nine pick due to their bad record and their crappy performance. Ryan Poles has used the draft to his advantage, for sure. He made the tough decision to part with a quarterback that he did not ask for, which is huge. He brought in stud wide receivers. He extended players who he knew would contribute, like Johnson, Cole Kmet. Another Cole Kmet, to his credit, I give him a lot of crap, but I'll tell you what, last year was the best year he's ever had in the NFL after getting paid. I have a lot of respect for that. Ton of respect for that. Ryan Poles did all of this for better or for worse, and there have been hiccups along the way, mainly with wide receiver, ironically enough, especially Bayless Jones and Chase Claypool. But he's also made those moves right. Now you got Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Can't really complain. This Bears team is solid thanks to the additions and the legwork that Ryan Poles has done putting this roster together. Now, here's what Shine has to say on Justin Fields. I've been looking forward to this one. I like Justin Fields, and I don't think he was always put in the best position during his time as the QB in Chicago. I understand why Poles said trading Fields to the Steelers was probably one of the harder things he had to do, but to my eyes, in terms of team building, it was a no-brainer because it helped clear the way for them to add an absolute superstar when the draft kicks off in Detroit. He goes on to say that Caleb Williams isn't just a solid prospect. He's sensational and dreamy. Gosh, all right. I mean, I've never used the word dreamy, but he's certainly a really good prospect. He's certainly outstanding. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, and he has a lot to bring to the table. And I will say this. And we said this last week, and we're going to continue to beat this drum throughout the Caleb Williams rookie season saga here in Chicago. Whether you agreed with the Justin Fields trade or not, you cannot dispute the fact that at surface level, Caleb Williams has a higher ceiling than Justin did or does. And that's a fact. Caleb Williams is a legitimate pocket passer. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's a superstar already, and he hasn't even stepped on the football field yet. He will be the number one overall pick. And he's going to be tasked with a huge undertaking. Justin Fields got a fair opportunity, whether people like it or not. Things were crazy around Fields. Things were all over the place with regime change, etc. But at the end of the day, in terms of on-the-field performance, Fields got 40 games to prove himself about. And he didn't prove himself. He still could have improved last year or taken a real big step upwards. And there could have been a situation in which the Bears would say, well, we're going to keep him, right? It didn't happen. It didn't happen because regardless of all the outside factors that people like to discuss and use as excuses, the fact is, in terms of raw on-the-field performance, it did not get better. It stayed stagnant or at times got worse. In fact, many times it got worse. So the trade needed to happen. The move needed to be made. Might have been hard for Ryan Poles. Might have been hard for Kevin Warren. But at the end of the day, it needed to be made. And I commend the Bears immensely for not acting off of feelings. Because the Bears in the past did. With many things. And that's why they've been mired in mediocrity. There was no rationality in some decisions that they've made. It was simply, I have an affinity with this guy. I like that guy. I just can't put myself through the heartache of getting rid of him. Well, the Bears did it. Heartache aside, from a man-to-man perspective, they said, you know what, Justin? You're a great guy, but as a football player and as a quarterback, we got to move on. Very similar to Mitch Trubisky. Good guy, but as a football player and a quarterback, we got to move on. And that's okay. I wish Justin Fields nothing but the best. But the fact is, in this situation, the Bears needed to move on. Now, Caleb Williams does not need to do much in order to be one of the best Bears quarterbacks in Bears history. I think that's something that needs to be said, too. If Caleb Williams walks in next year, just throwing for 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 10 picks, you understand that that's a better season than Justin Fields has ever had. Justin Fields has never thrown for 20 touchdowns. Justin Fields has never thrown for 3,000 yards. And if he throws for 4,000, which I'm not expecting that at a Caleb year one, but if he does, we're talking about breaking Bears franchise records for single-season passing yards in his rookie year. And I'll tell you this, with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore at his disposal, he just might do it. He just might do it. And if he does, that's great. You can't pass on somebody like Caleb Williams. So here's what Shine ended with. He said, quote, it's amazing to see how much progress Poles has made following the disastrous 2022 trade for receiver Chase Claypool. Claypool flamed out, but Poles has mostly pulled the right levers since. And I would argue, even before, he made some good decisions. The Claypool thing and the Bayless Jones thing, to me, are the worst two things he's ever done. Other than that, it's been pretty smooth sailing for Poles. Besides keeping Matt Eberflus at the end of last season. And here's how Shine ends it. He says, quote, he and Eberflus have this organization ready to take a step forward, and Caleb Williams is, quote, about to change everything. I'd add a dramatic effect to that. But really, that's the truth, and I actually like this article. It scares me to make this prognostication so early on because we've heard it so many times, and that's not even just a Bears thing. That's a Chicago sports thing. For some reason, everybody likes to say, this team's going to do great, that team's going to do great, and they never do. Last year, oh, the Cubs are going to do great, and then they blew it in September. Or, you know, other years, the Cubs are going to be good, or the Bulls are going to be good this year, and things are going to get better for them. Well, the Bulls are in the tanker, in the crapper right now. They're doing horrible. Like, every year we hear about, yes, they're going to be good. Yes, they're going to be a Cinderella team. Yes, we're going to see good things, and we never do. That happened last year for the Bears. It happened in 2020 for the Bears, if you recall, and 2019 after the 2018 season. If you remember, after 2018 heading into 2019, that was the Bears' 100th anniversary. They did that big promotion with Mitch Trubisky and Jim McMahon. There were people writing articles. There were people prognosticating right away that this team was going to win the Super Bowl. Now, I don't blame anybody based on how 2018 went. Nevertheless, they couldn't have been more wrong. So I'm always a little bit scared, a little bit some trepidation here in terms of how real is this sentiment. But I will say this. Being a Cinderella team would take a lot, and the Bears have done a lot. This isn't just pulling a rabbit out of a hat here. The Bears have actually done the work and made significant moves to be in this position. They have two of the top 15 wide receivers in football, no question. No argument, no question, no debate. No, they have two of the top 15 wide receivers in football at their disposal right now. They're going to be drafting one of the greatest quarterback prospects of all time. They have a rejuvenated run game situation. They have defensive help. They have a defensive-minded head coach. There are a lot of things to look forward to. So I don't disagree with this proclamation from Adam Schein. I just hope that it all works out. We've seen it so many times, crash and burn and flame out. And really, the one thing that could disrupt this entire thing, if there is one thing, it's going to be Caleb Williams, right? Everything, or I should say this, a lot of things are going to determine and depend on how good Caleb Williams does. I would say this, even if Caleb Williams has an average rookie year, he could be lifted up by all the good pieces around him. The Bears are going to have a decent defense. They're going to have great wide receivers. They're going to have a couple of good running backs. So even if Caleb Williams does not do amazing this year, I think that everything around him will lift him up and lift this team up regardless. That said, if Caleb Williams turns out to be a bust, that's where there's going to be an issue. And we don't know that yet. I'm not anticipating it. I really don't think that's going to happen. I'd be stunned if it did. But that's the one way this entire article could put a red X through it, could be X'd out. So we got to keep that in mind. But nevertheless, I'm excited to be a Bears fan right now. You should be too. And this article is accurate. Could the Bears be the NFL Cinderella story of 2024? You betcha. Of course they can. They have the pieces, and they've done the work to prove it. The question is now, can they execute? Can they execute on the field? Can they mesh together as a team? Can they work hard towards one common goal? Which for me is 10 wins and a wild card playoff appearance. I think that's possible. Just up to them to get on the field and actually make it happen. But this is an interesting read. Go to NFL.com. You could see that. I got to tell you, I saw that. I'm like, man, we got to talk about this. Cinderella story, prognostication. The Bears haven't even drafted Caleb Williams yet. We're already talking about all this. Man, what month is it? April, almost? I mean, geez, we got a long way to go before football, and we're already talking about things like this here on STC. We'll be back in a second. Kevin Warren had things to say about Justin Fields, and you're going to want to hear him. That's next here on Sports Talk Chicago. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, back at it. John Meadows directing and producing. We say hello to all of our great radio and TV affiliates carrying us here today. So great to be here with all of you. 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, JTBW, JOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, and our new friends in Rockford, WROK, 1440 AM. It's great to be here with all of you. You can follow me at Sports Talk Chicago. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening on the radio, you can subscribe and watch the entire program as well at your leisure on demand. Subscribe today. Hit the like button on our videos. We're almost at 18,900 subscribers, trying to get to the elusive 20,000. So we're getting there. Appreciate all of your support and all of your help. First segment, we discussed why the Bears could be NFL's Cinderella team in 2024, according to one columnist, which was really interesting, and I certainly think it's possible. The reason why part of that was made possible, whether you like it or not, is because the Bears traded Justin Fields. I know it doesn't sound good in your heart, right? It doesn't sound good from an emotional perspective, but from a rational perspective, from a realistic perspective, from a truth perspective, it made sense that the Bears did what they did, okay? Evan Warren now speaking out publicly about what happened with Justin Fields and his take on the entire situation. So Warren was at the NFL owners' meetings. He actually praised Ryan Poles for staying true to his word. Interesting. He said, quote, "I'm glad we were able to do right by Fields," Warren said. "And that was another critical data point to show you who Ryan Poles is, that he's going to build this team with integrity and class, and when he says he cares about people and players." Warren went on to say, quote, "One of the things I appreciated the most is that we wanted to do right by Justin, and Pittsburgh was the best trade destination for him. I think in the long term, if you do right by people, those things come back to you in ways you really haven't planned. I wish him well, and I say that sincerely." That's Kevin Warren on what occurred 2 weeks ago. Found that interesting. You know, I don't disagree. There were many people, and usually I'd be one of those people, who said, why didn't the Bears get more back? Why didn't they trade him at the right time? Why didn't they find the best return for Fields instead of doing right by him? Well, here's my response to all of that, first of all. Did you really think the Bears were going to get a star-studded return for a quarterback who can't even throw for 3,000 yards? No. The return the Bears could have gotten, maybe at best, right? Could have been a second or third round pick, which is fine. I'm not saying that that's a waste of time or money, but let's put on the human element here for a minute. Are you willing to risk, or are you willing to get a couple of rounds of a pick better just because you traded Justin somewhere else, right? Justin Fields, like it or not, is a beloved figure here in Chicago now. He always will be, or should be to some. Point is, are you really going to risk all of that? Are you really going to cause a dissension, bad taste in people's mouths to trade him to somewhere just so you can get a higher pick? I do believe Pittsburgh is a great situation for him. I find it interesting that other teams who needed quarterbacks didn't go after him, which is a whole other conversation in and of itself. But the fact is, Justin Fields went to a situation in which he still could succeed. No doubt about it. The Bears did not stick him in a situation where he's going to be a backup forever. He has a legitimate opportunity to start again if he plays his cards right and simply performs. At the end of the day, it's all about merit. If you can't perform, you're not going to play. Justin Fields has to demonstrate to Pittsburgh, to Mike Tomlin, to really the entire league, that he could throw for 3,000 yards in a season. Seriously. That's not a knock. That's the truth. He has to demonstrate to the league that he can show up in the fourth quarter. He has to demonstrate to the league that he could throw for 20 touchdowns in a year. He has to demonstrate to everybody that he has better pocket awareness and ability to read fields better and find people downfield when they're open instead of running around for 8 seconds, then taking a sack or just scrambling. There are things that he needs to work on. He can work on them, and maybe he'll get better and start again, and I wish him well. But at the end of the day, and here's the interesting thing, we did not hear Warren say, it shouldn't have happened, or I didn't want it to happen, or I feel bad about it. No. That I like, because in the past it was the opposite. Something bad happened, somebody should have been traded but didn't. Emotion was the key factor in statements. The Bears, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I'm scared about this, I'm scared about the fans, I love this player so much, I can't get rid of him. That's not what happened here. Warren said, and was happy that the Bears did right by Fields. There was no expression of regret, or of angst, or of why did we do this. That is the truth. Which means that Kevin Warren, as much as he likes and respects Justin Fields, also knew it was time to move on. He also knew it was time to make a move. And that's important. It's important for Ryan Poles, it's important for this team that the higher-ups, the high brass of this team, even all thought, okay, it's time to move on here. This is not going to work anymore. We're tired of seeing it. And everybody's credit, they acted based on reality and not based on emotion. And I'll say this, they did a really good job of confusing and confounding the fan base. did a good job of making people believe that he's some really good quarterback. We still got people out there who are going to be Fields truthers. Now, you want to call me a Mitch Trubisky truther, I'm going to fight back and call you a Fields truther. At the end of the day, you cannot justify keeping Justin Fields based on the numbers that he put up. The Bears, though, to their credit, created a great smokescreen and got people really thinking, including myself, that they were going to keep him. They really made me think this was going to work out in that way. And I'm so happy it didn't. For those who looked at things objectively, which the Bears usually don't do, which is why I'm surprised this happened, it was clear that Justin Fields was not the answer for this team. And that's okay. This is not a personal attack. This is not I hate you. This is just the truth. It was clear. I like him as a person. I like him as a young quarterback in this league. I think there's still an opportunity for him to grow. There's no doubt about it. But when you watched him play the 39 games that he played in a Bears uniform, you knew this is not the answer. Can you imagine for a second paying Justin Fields a six-year, $236 million contract? You know the Giants right now, New York Giants, they're looking to draft a quarterback and they just paid Daniel Jones $37 million a year. Now you could say, oh, well, his contract could expire. No, the fact is, though, they thought they had their guy. They overpaid somebody who did not deserve it, and now they're looking to draft a quarterback. They might get J.J. McCarthy, good for them, but the point is they committed money, and at the time they committed resources to thinking, we don't need to worry about a quarterback, and that's what would have happened to the Bears. They would have paid Justin Fields. Maybe there could have been a way to get out of the contract, right? But then in 2-3 years, you'd be looking for another quarterback again. You'd be having a draft and look through the draft and maybe trade up and mortgage more of your future, and we'd just be in the same cycle. Nothing would change. That's the key. That's the thing that I think people need to look at here. From a future perspective, from a franchise perspective, there was a reason why this move was made. I couldn't agree more that there's the possibility, keyword possibility, that he could get better. There is the possibility that even this year, he'll show massive improvement. And he'll show off what he should have been doing here. But if that doesn't happen, you would have been stuck with a quarterback who's mediocre at best, who's maybe 20th in the league at best, and you're paying him $50 million a year. And then in 3-4 years, you would have been at it again looking for a new quarterback. That's not what you want to do. You want somebody that you could trust, and you want somebody that you could see yourself hitching your wagon to for a long, long time. For Justin Fields and the Bears and Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, Matt Eberflus, that was not the case. And it only made sense to deal him. So I give Kevin Warren credit here in these public comments for saying the right things without regretting it, without having emotion, acknowledging that, yes, we needed to move on. It's just a breath of fresh air to me because, again, usually that's not the case. Usually that's not what we hear. Usually, based on actions, this wouldn't even be happening. He'd still be on the team. The fact that it worked out the way that it did shows maturity and shows that there is somebody different running this team. It's not Ryan Pace. It's not Phil Embry. It's not Matt Nagy. It's Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus for now. And that's fine with me. And Kevin Warren at the top. There are different people running this team who are willing to admit that things needed to be changed. And if you're willing to do that, then that means that progress is always the key. See, before it was, well, how do we keep people happy? Well, I'm okay with keeping people happy if you're doing your job and you're performing. If you're not performing, keeping people happy is not the number one thing you have to worry about. The number one thing you have to worry about is why aren't we executing? And the Bears, for so long, have not been executing. They traded up to get Mitch. It didn't work. They traded up to get Fields. It didn't work. They hired Matt Nagy. That didn't work. Hired Ryan Pace. Fired him too. Matt Eberflus was on the chopping block for a lot of the time last year as well. Even. Then they fired Luke Getsy. They just have not executed. There's been a revolving door. at head coach and GM and all these staffing positions and quarterback even. It's crazy. Crazy to think that for so long, the same things happened over and over with no consequences nor any change. The Bears continually settled for mediocrity. They continually stuck with what they knew best, stuck with what they were familiar with, not what could be a game-changing opportunity, and they got what they deserved. They did. That's why they haven't made the playoffs in a while. That's why they haven't really been dominant since 2018. They've been doing things the same old Bear way, and the same old Bear way ain't going to get it done. So, enough of the Justin Fields Kool-Aid. Because clearly Kevin Warren isn't even sipping it anymore. Not based on these comments, at least. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm reading right here from what he said. He commended Ryan Poles for getting rid of Fields in a classy way, integrity and class when he cares about people and players. And Warren said he wishes him well. I say that sincerely. That's it, though. That's it. The statement's over. There's no, well, I feel bad. I wish it could have worked out here. Not even that. Just, I wish him well, sincerely. Great way to put it, and leave it at that. And that's the truth. That's the reality, people. While everybody else was calling and begging and crying and beseeching the Bears to keep Justin Fields, we kept it real here every week. All you got to do is look at the numbers. All you got to do is watch the tape. All you got to do is watch a freaking Bears game once in a while, and you'd be able to see that he was not the guy. And the Bears, to their credit, didn't act based off of fans rioting, for lack of a better term. They acted based off of reality and knew that whether the fans liked it or not, we're going to run this damn team well, and we're going to pursue victory. We're going to pursue greatness. And that's what they did here. This is not saying that Caleb Williams is going to work. This is not saying or guaranteeing anything in terms of Caleb Williams. But you know what it is guaranteeing? That the Bears are making decisions in terms of winning football games, not emotions. They are willing to make the tough calls to ensure victory and success. And I respect that immensely. If Caleb Williams doesn't work out, right? Let's assume that doesn't happen. It's okay. Because the Bears in this moment are doing everything they possibly can to win. And if Caleb Williams doesn't work, maybe it's going to be a failure in coaching, a failure in Williams, whatever it is. The point is, they did everything they could to win. Even trading a fan favorite, even trading an organizational favorite. Because Justin Fields as a person was beloved by his teammates, by his coaches, by the president. He was beloved. The fact that they made this decision shows you they're going all in. That, to me, is unbelievably encouraging. They're ready to make a splash. They're ready to win football games. They're committing to something different besides the Bear way, because the Bear way doesn't work. That, to me, is not stated enough. Opening day baseball is coming up this week. Cubs, White Sox are going to be battling it out. The Cubs have a much better outlook than the White Sox, nevertheless, are both going to be going at it at 0-0 records to start the year. We're going to preview everything next here on Sports Talk Chicago. Stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago, John Zagluel, John Meadows directing and producing. Back at it for the final segment of today's program. If you missed any part of today's show, do me a favor. You can go to sportstalkchicago.com. You could podcast it, any of your favorite podcasting platforms as well, or watch it all on YouTube on demand anytime you'd like. Go to Sports Talk Chicago on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button and the like button. And if you want, hit that notification bell so you're notified of future videos. We go live. We have discussions. We have pre-recorded videos that go out. Everything goes out on there. So make sure you want to watch us and see it. You can follow us there. Follow us all over at Sports Talk Chicago. Again, a big shout out and a warm welcome to all of our great radio and TV affiliates, 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, GenTV, WJOB, Cities, 92.9 Talk FM, and WROK, 1440 AM. up in Rockford. Final segment of today's program. We had heavy Bears talk in segments one and two. Some fun stuff about Justin Fields, Kevin Warren, Caleb Williams, the Bears being a Cinderella team. Yeah, some good stuff. So if you missed it, go and podcast it. But we want to end today with baseball, because opening day is actually here. Kind of crept up on me. I don't know about you. Really crept up on me. But Cubs and the White Sox are going to be going at it this season. They start up this weekend. I want to go through their rosters as they stand right now. I want to give a preview and a record prediction for each of these teams and how I think their seasons are going to go. Now, I will say this. There's going to be a big delineation. One team's supposed to be good. The other one's going to suck. Okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. That's nothing personal. That's just how I see it at the moment. Of course, the good team I'm talking about are the Chicago Cubs. Talk about doing the right things this offseason without overspending. Credit to Jed Hoyer. And one more thing about Jed Hoyer. Here, I'm going to start with this, actually. Who out there, and I want you to raise your hand if you're in your car, if you're watching us here on YouTube, raise your hand if you call Jed Hoyer a moron for breaking up the Cubs' core. I'm not raising my hand, but do you want to raise your hand? Yeah, because now look where they are today. And it's okay if you did. I forgive you. I'm sure he does, too. Look at where this team is today versus where they were in 2021. Now, if you recall 2020, the COVID year, the Cubs, quote-unquote, won the division by going six games over 500. And they got their asses kicked by the Marlins, of all teams, and the expanded COVID playoffs. That was a disaster. Theo Epstein left the Cubs high and dry, and everybody beloves and loves Theo Epstein. And then Jed Hoyer had to make the tough decisions himself and went under a lot of scrutiny for getting rid of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez. By the way, Javier Baez in spring training literally hit under 50, like 0.50 for his batting average in spring training. And he's getting paid $20-plus million per year by Detroit. Just saying. Chris Bryant has yet to play 100-plus games in a season for Colorado. He's in year three of an eight-year deal. Anthony Rizzo is back, and hopefully he'll do okay. But last year, kind of a tough year, and even the year before in New York. The Cubs' beloved core that everybody knew and everybody loved is over. And that's okay, because now they have a new core, a new look, and a new team that is expected to compete and really is expected to win this division. The Cubs made a big move from a managerial perspective. They signed Craig Counsell to the largest managerial contract in baseball history. They made some moves this offseason. They retained and re-signed Cody Bellinger to a deal. Cody Bellinger is going to be back. They're going to have key pieces all around this infield, which I'm really excited to look at. Christopher Morel is going to be a key piece for this team at third base and even in the outfield as well. Patrick Wisdom, Cody Bellinger are going to be playing and having big opportunities at the plate specifically. Dansby Swanson, of course, at shortstop. Nico Horner, Ian Happ, and Seiya Suzuki, who I think might have a breakout year. Seiya Suzuki quietly has had a nice start to his career in Major League Baseball. Obviously came over from Japan, and he's been quite the player for the Cubs. Good defender, really good on-base guy. His on-base percentage is always ranked, actually, top 10 in the league. It was last year. Seiya Suzuki is a very solid baseball player. And in the rotation, the Cubs are looking solid as ever. They got Justin Steele. Kyle Hendricks is back. Shota Imanga is going to be here. Cubs signed him from Japan. Very curious to see how he does. Jameson Taillo near the back end. And Javier Assad rounds out that rotation. He had a great half season last year down the stretch. And really, because of him, that the Cubs really competed down the stretch last year, which was great. This Cubs team is going to be hot. In the bullpen, they got Albert Alzolay closing again, and he turned it on last year. Kind of revived his career, because up until then, he was just a failed starter and really a swingman who was kind of a bust. Hector Neris was signed to a deal. That's a nice 1-2 punch in the back end of the bullpen. Mark Leiter Jr., Julian Merriweather, they're all going to be in the bullpen as well. Catcher, they got Yan Gomes and Miguel Amaya. They have the old guy and the young guy. The heir apparent, the successor to Wilson Contreras, is Miguel Amaya, and Yan Gomes, a reliable backstop who's been in this league for a long, long time. There's no reason why this Cubs team cannot win the division. There's no reason why this Cubs team can't make waves this year. Jed Hoyer said it himself, especially at the end of last season. I mean, there's a reason why David Ross got fired. Cubs fans didn't want him to get fired, but there's a reason why he got fired. Look at what happened to them last year. I heard this on the radio the other day. Entering September 1st, the Cubs had the highest probability of making the playoffs amongst any team in baseball. Not kidding. And look where they ended. Outside of the playoffs. That's crazy when you think about it. So they have a similar roster, if not even a little bit of a better roster, plus the best manager in baseball. There was no reason why they cannot win 90 games and this division. I'm going to predict the Cubs win 93 games this year. 93-69 record. They're going to win this division. And I would even say they should win a playoff series. I'll even go that far. Whether they make the wild card round, they'll win the wild card round, move to the divisional round, or if they make the divisional round, which I don't know if they will with 93 wins, but if they do, I expect them to make it to the NLCS then. I'm not expecting a World Series. No way. I don't see it, especially after last year, and with this being Council's first year, he's going to need time to get used to this position. There's no doubt about that, but this team will win 93 games. This team will make the playoffs. This team will win the division, and they may even win a series or two in the Major League Baseball playoffs in October. So that's my take on the Cubs. That's the exciting, good part of Chicago baseball. Now let's get to the bad. The White Sox and company. Now, I don't want to crap on them too much because there are a lot of young players who are good people who are actually decently talented, who could put up some decent numbers this year. I want to preface that by saying this, but as far as a team effort, this might be another long year for the White Sox and for the South Side. Now, some positives. Luis Robert Jr. is going to be back in center field. Luis Robert had an MVP caliber year last year. His batting average really went down near the end of the season, but in general, he was a top 10 finisher in the American League MVP, and for good reason. 30-plus homers, 100-plus RBIs. He played really good baseball last year. So Luis Robert Jr. is going to be the big superstar, I think, of this team. I'm expecting a bounce back year from Andrew Benintendi. Last year, just had a power outage at the plate. Benintendi usually is a good average hitter, good contact hitter, but he can hit 20 home runs in a hitter-friendly ballpark like Guaranteed Rate Field. I'm expecting a power revival for Andrew Benintendi this year. I'm hoping for 15 homers. And that's on the low end. Andrew Benintendi's hit 25-plus homers in a season before, but I'll say 15. Eloy Jimenez is supposedly in shape. Unfortunately, he just always gets hurt. So if he stays at DH, I expect a good year out of him. I'm hoping 25 home runs. And then throughout the field, the Sox also signed Paul DeJong to a one-year deal. They got Yoan Moncada, who's going to try and prove himself this year. Andrew Vaughn's at first. Martin Maldonado is going to be catching, one of the best defensive catchers in baseball by far. It's not a horrible team. It's just not a wow team. There's no wow factor on this team besides Luis Robert. See, the Cubs, they got a wow factor. They got a couple of wow factors in the rotation, on the field, guys who maybe aren't even household names who certainly perform. The Sox don't really have that right now. They got Luis Robert and a bunch of question marks. So if things go exceptionally well, I could see a situation in which they maybe even finish above 500. But if things go like they've always gone, it's going to be a tough year for them. The starting rotation, Garrett Crochet is going to start game one of the season. He's never started a major league game before. So that's troubling, to say the least. Mike Soroka is here on the White Sox as well, veteran starter. And, you know, their rotation isn't even built out according to their depth chart yet, so they don't even have a number five starter yet according to their depth chart. In the bullpen, they moved Michael Kopech to the bullpen, which I thought was a very smart move. I actually think in terms of maybe an X factor from a pitching perspective, it's going to be him because Michael Kopech is an explosive pitcher. He just has been a failed starter. I could certainly see him, though, thriving in either a setup role or even a closing role. He throws hard. He's known for his speed. He's known for his quick, you know, his quickness. I could totally see him being a good closer and kind of taking the path that Albert Alzolay took for the Cubs because Azeldai was supposed to be this great starting pitcher, and the 1 year that he started full-time, he went 4-10 and had an ERA north of 4, almost at 5. It just didn't work. And that's been a similar situation for Kopech. Last year was just horrendous for him. Had a couple of good starts early and started hot. End of the year so bad that his season stats were just inflated. His ERA was above 4, near 5, too, like Azeldai. I could see Kopech really making a difference in this bullpen for the White Sox, and I could see him being a legit, realistic X factor for them. I could totally see it. So that's someone I'm going to be looking forward to and looking forward to seeing pitch. Other than that, though, just a bunch of question marks in their bullpen, a bunch of question marks that we just don't know what they're going to be doing, what they're going to be capable of. Obviously, no more Tim Anderson. He's in Florida or in Miami. Liam Hendricks signed a deal in Boston, so he's gone as well. So a couple of namesakes for this team are not here anymore. If you're a Sox fan and you're going to buy tickets, I guess you'd only kind of go to the ballpark to maybe see Robert. There aren't many household names on this team anymore. And I know they're still, I guess, rebuilding, kind of. I mean, now they got Chris Getz, so we got to give him proper time to get this team in order. Pedro Grifols probably on the hot seat. Actually, you know, he is on the hot seat. Something's got to give this year. So we'll see how things play out for them. But I'm not expecting much from this White Sox team in 2024. If I had to put a number on their win total, I'm going to say 72 wins. It's probably generous, but I'm going to go with 72. So 93 wins is my prediction for the Cubs, and a division win and a playoff series win. That's for the Cubs. The White Sox, I'm seeing 72 wins, maybe second to last in the AL Central. And maybe we'll see good things from Michael Kopech in the bullpen and certainly Luis Robert Jr. I'm expecting him to build off of last year's campaign in which he was a top 10 finisher in the American League MVP vote. Tale of two different teams and two different trajectories here in Chicago for baseball. One is on the up and up for usual. The Cubs have, relatively speaking, been really good, and the White Sox just cannot seem to get things together. The White Sox cannot get it together. And really, it sucks for their fan base because they have such devoted fans, and I want the White Sox to succeed too, just as much as anybody else. Their fans love them. And all I hear, it's kind of like the Bears. You know, when I talk to White Sox fans, I just hear about 2005 a lot. It's just like the Bears fans with 1985. You hear about 1985 all the time. With the White Sox, you hear about 2005 all the time. And I appreciate what they did in 2005. The pitching, the defense, that won them everything that they did. But I'm sure if you're White Sox fans, you want something more than that. You don't want to keep reverting back to 2005, just like Bears fans always preferred back to 1985. We want to see some progress and some change. I want to give Chris Getz a fair opportunity and a fair crack to do it, of course. But, man, they got a lot of work to do. Got a long way to go. So I wish them all the best. But it's not looking good for them here in 2024. Again, Major League Baseball opening day is coming up this weekend. 162 games to go. So much to watch, so much to see, so much to discuss throughout the season. We're going to cover all of it here on STC. So rest assured, if you're looking for your baseball fix, we're not just a football show. We're Sports Talk Chicago. So we cover it all, and we're going to definitely keep tabs on the Cubs and White Sox as they play throughout the 2024 season. Hoping for success, at least for the Cubs. Expecting success for the Cubs, for the White Sox. And if they win 70-plus games, to me, that's a success for them, considering the roster they have and the expectations that they have entering 2024. On that note, that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Appreciate everybody tuning in and hanging out here with us for another week, wherever you may be and however you may be listening across all of our great radio and TV affiliates. 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, HGTV, JTBW, JOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, and WROK, 1440 AM. And Rockford. Thank you to John Meadows for directing and producing. Thank you to all of you. Follow me at Sports Talk Chicago. Subscribe to the YouTube page. Hit the like button on our videos. And if you missed any part of this show, if you're just tuning in right now, you just got into your car, you flipped on the radio real quick, don't fret. Go to sportstalkchicago.com. You could podcast. You go to any podcast platform. Just search up Sports Talk Chicago. You could podcast the entire show. It's cut up into segments. You could listen to the whole show all at once. Whatever your preference is, it's going to be there for you to consume. Until next week, so long. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you soon.